Welcome, everybody, to the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Monday, October 21st. Can you believe it is almost 78 degrees outside right now? What a beautiful day. Probably the last day like this of the year, but we will take it when we can get it. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this Monday afternoon, and always appreciate Steve giving me the opportunity to sit behind the microphone and share my heart with the listeners here of Fargo-Moorhead and everywhere in the flag listening audience, but hope that you will stick with us for these next couple of hours. We do have a couple of great guests lined up coming up here in studio. We're going to be joined by Andrew Nyhus. He is the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party, and we're going to have some conversation about the election course coming up in a little over 2 weeks, and from his perspective, maybe discuss some of what a candidate's priority should be these last couple of weeks, and it is crunch time. And I don't know about you, many of you probably are ready for the next 2 weeks to be over, but regardless, we got 2 weeks left to weather the storm, and so we're going to have a great conversation with Andrew, again, executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party. Also, Amy Olson's going to stop in and give us an update on a great event coming up here in Fargo, November 7th and 8th. It is called the Faith Forward Conference, and it's going to be held at the Hope Lutheran South Campus, and it's such a great event, and you're going to want to make sure you stay tuned for some of the details on that event. But Amy is one of the speakers at this event, and it's a name that most here in the Fargo area will recognize. Also, we're going to have a conversation with Representative Ben Koppelman, who is running for re-election in District 10 in West Fargo, and we're going to ask him how that's going, as well as maybe some other questions about the priority of the state. And if we get to it, I have a couple of articles that would love to bring to you that are the daily talkers for me. There's a couple concerning the superintendent of public instruction, if I could get that out, Addison, here in North Dakota, Kristen Baszler. She has made some comments regarding some of the school choice legislation that is being talked about for the next session. And as well as Measure 4 on the ballot is making some national news. So you're going to want to make sure to hear a little bit about that. On the national level, we're seeing some chatter about what Measure 4 could do. But before we get to all of that, yesterday during church, Pastor Antioch Church here in town, and while I was speaking, I was bringing a message, just kind of a simple message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I made the comment, something to the effect of, you know, the individual that can save our country is not on the ballot, you know, on either party. And I kind of just said it a little bit tongue in cheek, but somebody, you know, in the crowd said, we should put him on the ballot. And I made the comment, well, we should write his name in. And well, we know that to be Jesus Christ. And so we had a little bit of fun with that. But as I was thinking about the kind of the next couple of weeks, and especially I would pose a question to all of you listeners here on this Monday afternoon is, what is it that is driving you to the ballot box as far as your values when it comes to voting? Would love for you to kind of share your point of view on that. You can call in to the studio here, 701-271-1100, or text us your thoughts and comments at 701-237-1590. But I wanted to just spend a couple of minutes as we started the program this afternoon looking at the contrast between some party platforms. And I think this is a great tool when it comes to deciding all of us here in these next couple of weeks, if you are an undecided voter, which at this point in time, I don't know how in the world there's anyone out there, Addison, that could be an undecided voter at this time. Do you have any idea?
I couldn't think of anyone that
I'm
could
telling
be
you, like,
undecided.
Maybe I'm a little bit more involved in the process than some others and maybe are care a little bit more about. I don't know, but you know, there is this segment out there called undecided voters, and if that's you this afternoon, I really want you to consider this, and that is just simply looking at the party platform contrast between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And you know, the reason why I say this is there was once upon a time that politics in America was about right and left, but really now, in my opinion, it's become about right and wrong. It's become a value-based decision versus just tax policy or, you know, how much involvement should the government have in our life or government programs. So you go down the list of things that, you know, whether it's right or left, there's really not a lot of daylight as far as morality between the two. But then it comes, and it seems like in the last couple of years, the language has really ramped up when it comes to morality, right versus wrong. And so there is a great contrast in these two party platforms. And that's what I encourage everybody to go and consider. And the reason why I ask you to do that is that no matter what any candidate says, no matter the rhetoric, you know, because it's easy to say one thing, but the statistics point out that 89% of the time for Republicans, they vote with their party platform. 74% of the time, Democrats will vote with their party platform. And so to cut through all of the rhetoric of what's said by the candidates and even the political pundits, I think the biggest thing that we can do is focus on what they will do and not just what they say. And how do we know that? Well, by just contrasting the party platforms. And as a pastor, I would say that this is my response to individuals that ask this question. I just simply ask the question of, have you considered the party platforms and how does that align with a biblical worldview and values? And, you know, just to give you some highlights, there's, when you contrast the two parties and the platforms, one will mention Bible, the other doesn't. One mentions pray, the other doesn't. Blessings, the other doesn't. Grace, Christian, conscience, sanctity of marriage, parental rights, religious liberty. We could go on and on and on about these contrasts between the two. One mentions Christian three times, Islam zero times. The other mentions Christian zero times and Islam six times. Without even naming the party platform, I think we, if you're somewhat involved voter, you'll be able to tell which I'm talking about. But the party platform that mentions things like Bible, blessings, Christian, conscience, grace, pray, sanctity of marriage, again, I could go down the list of these things. There's a difference in not only, I would submit to all of us, just morality, but in a huge difference in values. And so vote your values. And the question is, what's going to get you out to the polls? What's going to get you out to vote come in just a little over 2 weeks' time? And some of you maybe are sick of hearing about it, but the reality is we live in a country that is needing individuals to get out and vote. And vote your values. And again, as a pastor, walking some of these lines at times can be a little bit strategic, and we don't want to unnecessarily close doors with people when it comes to our main mission, and that is, of course, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want people to understand that it's so important that we all get out and vote. Yes, neither of those candidates are going to be what ultimately saves our nation, and they're not our savior, as we know from a biblical worldview. And this is something I'm passionate about, however, is to make sure that we as engaged citizens get out and vote. And so hopefully that stirs some thought. We're going to, on the other side of the break, we're going to have begin a conversation with Andrew Nyhus. He's the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party. We're going to be asking him some questions about these next couple of weeks. You want to make sure that you stick around for this conversation coming up. Andrew Nyhus. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is 4:20 here on Monday afternoon, and excited to have in studio our guest, Andrew Nyhus. He is the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party. We've had a few conversations before, but I wanted to ask that he would come on, and thankfully he's in studio today to have a conversation about what these next couple of weeks are going to look like for the candidates, not only on the statewide ballot, but of course there's a lot of legislative races going on. So, Andrew, it's great to have you here.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Yes, absolutely. You know, some of the things we wanted to discuss is really, you know, from a party perspective, what are the priorities for a candidate for these next couple of weeks heading into November 5th? Like, what do they focus on? What should they be focusing on? And would love to hear your perspective on some of that.
Well, at this late hour, you have 2 weeks to get out the vote. I mean, you're not focused on persuading. You're focused on reminding, you know, helping, encouraging, telling people, make your plan. Make your plan to bank your vote. You're going to, if you're voting absentee, it's getting late in the game to be requesting an absentee ballot. If you're voting early, find your polling place and schedule it. Put it on your calendar and make sure that you do it. That's really what candidates should be doing at this point. The way you do that varies by campaign, but people when you look at their face, when you go out canvassing and you look someone in the face and say, actually, this matters, and I'm your candidate, and I'm here at your door, or I'm, you know, or I'm someone who is willing to be here for the candidate, and I'm taking my time and I'm asking you personally to come vote for me, that's a great use of time at this point.
Yeah. And what, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but voter turnout in North Dakota, okay.
Abysmally low.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's low, and that's part of why get out the vote is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the observations that we hear about the apathy, perhaps, I think that the Democrats far outpace us. Their turnout rate is much higher. And so even though Republicans will win most of the elections, I think that some of the campaign muscles are at risk of atrophying.
Yeah.
And not just the campaign, right? Because it's up to the voters. And, you know, when voters step back from it, oh, we're fine, or my vote doesn't matter, my vote doesn't count. Well, it doesn't determine anything. You know, it doesn't, you're not the king. You don't get to determine who's elected, but it counts for one vote the same as everyone else's.
Yeah. And, you know, from a state party perspective, I really would be curious on, you know, we look at some of the statewide races, of course, Kevin Cramer and even Kelly Armstrong to a point, and we have some pretty, a lot of name recognition. There's a lot of history behind these candidates. And so when it comes to money, so to speak, well spent in just a lot of these local legislative races, especially after redistricting, are sometimes a little bit bigger of a fight. And that was the other question I really had for you, is when it comes to having a Republican supermajority, what are some of the things that come with that? You know, from your perspective, again, is it apathy? Do you fight laziness? I mean, is it almost like we take it for granted that we're going to win? Well, that can come back to bite us. I mean, if it's not careful, am I thinking in the right direction?
I mean, we can all think of examples of, why are we infighting? Why are Republicans working against Republicans?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those will say, well, because that element isn't Republican enough. And sometimes I find myself reminding, I mean, not necessarily just people in the party, people out of the party, really anyone who will listen to me, that if you are, well, let's just keep it to Republicans. If you're a Republican, your goal is to elect Republicans. But also, we have a democracy, right? We have a democratic constitutional republic, right? But the underlying that, the democracy, do you trust that district to say who from among the people willing to do it, who did they want?
Yeah.
And for you to stand against that I think you just need to admit, I don't really believe in democracy. I would like to be king. I would like to remake the world in my image, and I think the world would be better off that way. And then I'd say, well, you're deceived. You're deceived. Really, you don't know what that district wants. Only those voters know. Now, that's not to say that the party perfectly represents the Republican electorate, but that's a turnout. That's an engagement problem.
Yeah,
you need to go upstream and engage yourself in the party if you want to affect who's on the ballot.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that maybe on the other side of the next break. I really would love to hear your thoughts on some of that with the primary process and party process, and some of what you just described is some of the issues within the party, because both sides would kind of cry out, well, this is democracy at work when it comes to just primary voters and skipping some of the state party process and the district party process. And but maybe that's a whole another topic for another time. But we do have a caller, Denny, who has called in, wants to join in on this conversation. Denny, thank you so much for calling in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you wanted my opinion on morality and all this other stuff. Well, I got some statements here where greed steals from life and the better joy, Luke 12:15. Greed ruins families, Proverbs 15:27. Greed corrupts leaders, Isaiah 56:10. Greed steals life, Proverbs 11:19. Well, I was kind of give you an example of greed. The Walmart Corporation, the three family heirs, own 47% of the stock. Last year, Walmart's profits, net profits, was $15 billion. So their share was $7.4 billion. Now, you take that $7.4 billion, they have 1.6 million employees. That would give each one of those employees, who averages $33,000 a year, an additional $4,000. Another way to equate that is that there's 320,000 households in the state of North Dakota. The average mortgage for those is just under $1,800, comes to $21,600. Those three people could pay the mortgages for the whole state of North Dakota. And the third one is that you could buy 24,715 houses in North Dakota, which the average price is $299,000. Their whole house is all paid for the instead of three individuals. Now, would you say that's greed? And the greed is in the Bible 19 times.
Yeah, no, Denny, thank you so much for calling in. I'm not sure if you had a question for our guest, but I'd be glad to answer your question maybe later on in the show. Every one of those scriptures that you came up with, I would say is absolutely the Word of God. And it comes down to this. It comes down to our elected officials operating in two ways, one in pride or in humility, but it also comes down to managing the greater good for all of us. And so, Denny, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to get back to Andrew Nyhus and maybe answer your question later in the show. So keep listening. I won't forget it, Denny. Thank you so much for calling in. Drew, you know, when we consider the party process, let me ask you this. With a candidate running in a local Republican district, let's say, or any district, Republican or Democrat, I think the, you know, politics that's closest to the people is best for the people. So when it comes to that nomination and party process, you know, there's some that are nominated and then they will run. And we see a lot of, you know, some of that infighting in the primary election. But then when it comes to the general election, it's caused a lot of people pause. And, you know, I just ask you this, like, is our system here in North Dakota a little broken when it comes to allowing individuals to run under a certain banner, whether it's Republican or Democrat, in the primary process? If you catch the meaning of my question.
Yeah, sure do. So I ask, there are many answers to this question, what is a Republican? And certainly one of those answers is someone who's a member of the North Dakota Republican Party. You pay your party dues, now you're a member, that's a Republican. There's also, so we don't qualify that. We can remove someone from membership if they give us cause. The same goes in districts. They'll have their own bylaws. If you pay your dues, now you're a Republican. But a lot of people carry that Republican title because it's a really valuable brand.
Right.
Right. Our platform is clear. It's simple. And if you run on the platform in North Dakota, you are likely to win. Now, it is too easy to, it confuses the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy to say, I am a Republican. And one way that you do that as a candidate is by showing up to your district endorsing convention, and that person will get endorsed by the members of their district party. Now, that person's endorsed, not nominated. So they're endorsed until they win the primary, and then they're nominated. Well, right. Anyone can go and run with just a few signatures.
Correct.
And that is a really low bar. It's a really low bar. And we as the state party have no say. If you want to claim that you're Republican and get on the Republican ticket, we really can't. We don't own that term.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, we have a trademark on North Dakota Republican Party, that's different. So I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican. That could mean a world of different things, and it's all the same on the ballot. So that is a problem.
Yeah, maybe we'll pick up with this. We got to hit a news and weather break here at the bottom of the hour, but maybe we'll continue this conversation because I think it's very valuable, especially what's been happening here lately within our state. So heading to a news and weather break, and we'll catch up with our conversation with Drew Nye, who's on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show on the Flag. This is Andrew sitting in for Steve, and always, again, appreciate Steve letting me sit in. Having a conversation with the executive director of the North Dakota Republican Party, Andrew Nyhus. And Andrew, I love these conversations. It may bore some, but I do feel this is a big thing that a lot of people should be aware of, and I mentioned earlier, I did have a conversation with John Trandum on this topic, but the system in North Dakota, I feel like there's room for evaluation about how a party like a Republican Party, or let's say even the Democrat Party, can protect the values that we want to protect as a party. It's difficult when that, you know, somebody can run under the umbrella of a party that, which maybe don't share the same values as the party. And ultimately, it does come down to, I think, to this, though, and probably the thing that we can finish this conversation with, what it comes down to is engagement. Mm-hmm. It's people needing to be engaged civilly to see the values that we want to see in our society. And would love to hear your thoughts on that, on just civic engagement as a whole and how valuable it is how it does impact our lives more than we think that it does.
Oh, man. I feel like John the Baptist. On this one, I'm a voice in the wilderness trying to appeal to people. What you really ought to do, this is get out the vote time, and we should be talking about get out the vote. What you need to do is go to two meetings every 2 years.
Right.
Your legislative endorsing meeting, your delegate election, those two are usually combined to one meeting. That happened, you know, early, probably in the winter, like January, February this year. Next year, it's your reorg. Your district party is going to reorganize and elect a new chairman, elect new officers. That's you have to be at that meeting. It's one meeting, mm-hmm. and democracy is expensive and messy, and it's a terrible system, but for all the others. So this is when people say freedom isn't free, they're usually thinking about like military, right, and the sacrifices made by our servicemen. But it's not free to you. Like, they didn't pay it. We're still paying it. You have to show up, and that is part of the cost. So, but right now it's we're 2 weeks from an election. Here's your chance to show up. You can go vote early. That's starting tomorrow in some places. So it starts this week. You can start voting this week, and that's really what you have to do right now is vote.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bare minimum. But what's the absentee situation like? Is there still time to get an absentee ballot?
You could, yeah, you could. It's getting tight, and it does have to be postmarked by Election Day. Maybe it's the day before. I shouldn't say that on the radio. but it's getting tight for absentee.
Yeah. Well, and it's really simple. It only takes a couple of Google searches to find out your polling places and, I mean, the times that they're open, whether it's voting early or in person, you know, on that November 5th. But I guess that's the value of this conversation, just a reminder to everybody on really the importance, like the simple importance of getting out to vote. And that, you know, at this point, these next 2 weeks, the bare minimum. But I know, you know, you as the executive director would probably love to just be able to say, as you've already stated, again, and shout it to the masses, like it's only two meetings.
We had
at our last reorg meeting, we had 15 people there.
Yep. And if you can make a dozen phone calls and get six people to turn out to support you, you can be a district chairman. That's not democracy at work.
Yeah.
We only have, you know, two really dominant parties in North Dakota. Pick one and go show up to their meeting. And you should know the people, which gets back to your earlier question. We should know the people who are putting in these positions, and they should know the people who are getting elected. I think that one thing that could be done to know that, say, a candidate for the United States House of Representatives, how do we know that that person's a Republican? Because the petitions she got are from Republicans. Mm. You can go get 1,300 signatures from Democrats and join the Republican side of the ticket.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
There's no assurance that you're a Republican. Just you picked that name. You chose to caucus there.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, maybe as an executive director, but I would love to hear your thoughts on how that could change. I know that's a century code question, mm-hmm. and it needs to be handled legislatively.
Yes.
Like, we need to change this process, I believe, because it has muddied the water so much in what it means to be either a Democrat or a Republican, because you know, you could literally be elected in this state without having to attend any party function.
Yes, right. And I think North Dakotans, so, you know, I'll leave my opinion out of it. I think North Dakotans have they like that we're different. They like that we have no voter registration. Mm-hmm. Voter registration is one way that we could go. They like that there's a convention, but then also a way to circumvent the party convention process. The general public likes that. And so the legislature will have a choice. Should we give more power, more authority to the party and have them be the arbiters of what is a Republican to a greater degree? Or should we tighten up some of the that other route, or loosen it for that matter? It's the legislature. They do what they want.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good conversation to have. In fact, I would love to see the party be engaged in some of those discussions, because I think the system is broken right now. And I want to see this. I want to see the best candidates as possible sent to Bismarck, and to have a say in it besides just throwing a bunch of money at an election, I think is the democratic process at work, you know, kind of within the guardrails of a republic. And I love our conversation, Drew. I know you have, you know, a lot of thoughts and deep insight into some of this, but just kind of lastly, as we, you know, leave the listeners with this conversation, what are things you can do? I know we've talked about getting out to vote. What are some of your last maybe comments and thoughts that you would like to share over these next couple of weeks for voters to understand here in North Dakota?
I appreciate the question. I see the good and the bad. I see, you know, if you're reading about it in the news, I'm hearing about it. Anybody can say something bad. Mm. Anybody can say something negative. Say something good. You know, talk to your neighbors about voting. You know, oh, I can't wait till this election's over. Try, you know, the election's in 2 weeks. Do you have a plan to vote? Who are you voting for? And, you know, for all the misgivings, I still stand with the Republican Party, the party that was founded for the purpose of abolishing slavery, that stands with families, that is still knows that our nation was built on biblical truths. And talk to your neighbors. Say something good to your neighbors. Go vote yourself, but tell them, you know, it's not a big deal. You should go vote too. Finally, if you're one of those weird people who really is civically engaged, it's not too late to sign up as an election observer. That is a partisan thing. Partisan is not always bad. We have Democrats and we have Republicans who watch the election to ensure that it's being carried out. They just keep an eye on things. And we have a hotline. If you're an election observer, we have a RNC hotline that those observers can call. But at bottom, say something good. Go vote yourself. And if you have questions, go to NDGOP, that's NorthDakotaGOP.org. And if you don't like that, if that's not your flavor, vote.nd.gov, the Wonderful. Secretary of State site.
And back to my initial thoughts and just kind of the monologue at the beginning of the show, I know if you go to that website, you'll also be able to see the party platform, correct?
Yes.
And let that be part of our conversations over these next couple of weeks, is just go online, look at the party platforms, see how they align with your values, and have that conversation with your neighbor, friends, and family. And always appreciate this conversation as well, Drew. So thank you so much for stopping in. Great to see you, my friend.
My pleasure. You as well.
Awesome. Coming up on the other side of the break, we are joined in studio with Amy Olson. She is a professional golfer, but she is one of the speakers coming up at the Faith Forward Conference, November 7th and 8th. And we look forward to this conversation about what the Faith Forward Conference will bring to Fargo area. So stay with us for a conversation with Amy on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this beautiful Monday afternoon. And our guest in studio, Amy Olson, is a professional golfer. Amy, we should be out golfing right now.
We could today.
We could.
Courses are still open.
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Fall golf is the absolute best.
Except you can't find your ball with all the leaves.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I did see on the other day, I saw, I don't know if it was on Instagram or Facebook, but the fall golf accessory is a leaf blower in the golf cart. And it's genius. I think it's a must have for fall golf.
I feel like that's a major oversight in my golf game. I never added the leaf blower
there
to
you
my
go.
Golf bag.
That's right. Add it to the golf bag. Maybe we can get one that's portable. We can brand it and patent
Love
it.
Let's Love do it. It.
Yes. Well, we have Amy in studio. She is one of the speakers coming up at a great event happening here in Fargo on November 7th and 8th. It is called the Faith Forward Conference. It's going to be held at Hope Lutheran, their South Campus. And Amy, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this event. And just off air, we were discussing a little bit of some of the speakers and the importance of an event like this. But maybe just explain to everybody what the event is, and maybe a little bit of a snippet on what they'll hear from you, and kind of some of the content around what this conference is geared toward.
Yeah, from what I know, you know, this conference is really a passion project of Sarah West from Light Consulting, and she's been, you know, in the business world for a number of years, and has really over the years tried to put faith at the forefront of how they run their business, and just, you know, I mean, how she lives her life. And one of her passions is bringing that to the Fargo-Moorhead community. And I think a struggle that all of us have, you know, we have our passions, we have our gifting that God has given us, and we want to pursue that. But how do we do that faith first, right? Rather than like, I'm a golfer who happens to be a Christian, like I'm a Christian who happens to be a golfer. And how does that faith portion of my life be my identity? How does it drive how I make big decisions, how I treat people? And so that's really the mission of this conference, is to encourage the faith being the first part of, and specifically in business, but also, you know, just the rest of our lives. It has to Right. drive what we do and how we do it.
No, I love that. And I think it's going to speak to some of the challenges that come. I mean, for all of us, no matter what business we're involved with, to be that person first, and what that looks like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and then really fulfill that mission of Jesus Christ, and that is to make other disciples. And maybe if you want to speak to that a little bit, I mean, you were in some of the upper, you were in the upper levels of your sport. In women's golf, it doesn't get any higher than the majors, and what you were involved with. And I know you have, over the years, you have just been who you are, and that has caused both good and bad in the responses. But just share with our audience, like, what's that? What's it like to navigate that? And it's one thing to do it in a smaller platform, but it's another thing to do it on a bigger platform. And maybe just speak to that a little bit on some of your experiences with that.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to talking about a number of things in the conference. One of them is just my own personal story, how I came to know Jesus. And I was a young child. I'm so thankful for the foundation that my parents laid, and the you know, great teaching that I had from pastors over the years. Scripture memory has been such an important part of, you know, going through the highs and the lows and staying grounded, reminding myself of what is true, no matter how I feel. You know, I'm looking forward to talking about the highs and the lows and how my faith has really impacted how I've dealt with those and walked through those. And when I haven't walked through them well, how I'm able to just trust in the fact that it's like, it's not about me, it's not about what I do. Always looking to Jesus and knowing that that's my identity, and he lived that perfect life, because I can't, I never will. But also, like, that is, the Bible has always been the light that guides my path. And I think as you look in how you operate in the business world, it's such a temptation for us to make the decisions based on economics. It's based on the bottom line, mm-hmm. right? And one of the things that I've just been so convicted about is when Jesus was talking about you cannot serve both God and, he didn't say Satan. That seems like the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't serve the devil. You can't serve darkness, the kingdom of darkness. No, he said you can't serve God and money.
Right.
And so if we make our decisions based on what is right and what God's revealed in his word is the path that leads to blessing, and we trust that he will provide, that he will provide that blessing, we just have to be obedient. That's how we have to frame every decision that we make. And a lot of it comes down to, do we really trust God? Yeah. Do we trust that what he said is best? And it seems abstract, but in my experience, that actually affected how I mentally approached a 4-foot putt. It affected how I made some decisions about where I would travel and play, what sponsorships and what brands I would align with. It impacts so many different areas of your business. And so I'm looking forward to talking about a number of those different issues.
That's amazing. And we're visiting with Amy Olson. She's one of the speakers at a Faith Forward Conference being held November 7th and 8th. And you can go and register for the conference at faithforwardconference.com. And at the website, you'll see a list of speakers and also the schedule and the agenda. And, you know, Amy, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think, even in my own life, one of the programs I was involved with as a young, as a child, all the way through my teenage years, was a program we call Bible Quizzing. And it's just memorization of Scripture. And it's fascinating that when you commit to memory something as important as a living, breathing Word of God, when you walk through the rest of your life, it's amazing that that never leaves you. And so in every decision, one of the things that Howard Dahl, a gentleman that connected to one of these groups, business groups here in town that I'm connected with, mentioned at one point in one of his talks, he said, the difference between the sacred and the secular, there's this temptation almost to separate the sacred and the secular to the point where we feel at times disingenuous. And, you know, he talked about in his own life what that looked like, that intersection between sacred and secular. And I think from a child, we at times are not sure how to navigate that. But I'm grateful that a conference like this is coming to Fargo to try to help us all navigate what that looks like in our life, in a way that is God-honoring, that is graceful, and ultimately fulfilling the mission of the church, and that is to point people to Jesus Christ.
Well, it reminds me, I mean, as you're talking, the word worship is sometimes kind of a churchy word, right? But we're all created to worship, and we all worship, right? I mean, it might be, you know, I'm obviously in athletics, and my husband coaches at NDSU, so our culture worships athletes and athletics, and there's no more loud cheers than in the Fargo Dome at NDSU when we beat SDSU, right? Like, I mean, that's part of what our culture worships, mm-hmm. is success and achievement. And I mean, ultimately we were created to worship the Creator that made us, that gifted us, that gave us this world, who came and died for us. Like, we're created to worship Him. But worship doesn't just happen on Sunday morning, exactly. when we're singing.
Right.
And it's like, so often worship is used in that context of like, well, we're singing praises to God, right? Worship is every single day of our lives. And it says, whether you eat, whether you drink, no matter what you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything that we do is an expression of gratitude, thanks, and trying to bring attention and make God bigger. You know, not that we can make God bigger, but we can make Him appear bigger to those around us. If they see us and they're able to see a glimpse of Him, like, that's the greatest purpose that we can ever achieve.
Yeah, that's so well said. And one of the great joys of my life is to sit down and engage in Bible study with people. And it's fascinating. There's one gentleman in particular I was having a conversation and Bible study with, and he was very big into self-help books and just the principles of success that many in the business world will point to. And the longer that we went through a Bible study, and as a biblical worldview was forming in him, he was able to tie together the things that he learned back to the source of truth. Because the reality is, as you and I probably would agree, God's way is the best way. And these principles, these godly principles, they never change. We know that methods may change, but principles never do. And so this Faith Forward conference coming up November 7th and 8th is a great way to get those biblical values and principles embedded into our hearts and spirits. So Amy, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the event. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will have a conversation with Representative Ben Koppelman. He is running for re-election in District 16 for the House of Representatives. And if you have a question for Ben, feel free to give us a call, 701-271-1100, as we ask him what and how the election is going and the campaign is going coming up here November 5th. We will see. We'll see what happens with Ben. But there's some other questions I have for him, too, so stick around. Welcome back, everybody, to the 5 o'clock hour of the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this beautiful Monday afternoon, and hope you've enjoyed the program so far. Really enjoyed our conversation with Amy, and again, the conference coming up in the beginning of November, November 7th and 8th, it is called Faith Forward Conference, and I encourage everybody, if you're able to go to the website, faithforwardconference.com. And you can see the list of speakers and the schedule. And again, the focus will be just on living out our faith and as a first part of our identity, who we are, whether it's in our secular employment, our hobbies, our career, and looking forward to that great event. So thank you, Amy, for stopping in. And want to continue maybe on the political in the political realm for a while. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to look at a couple of articles I find interesting. And Measure 4 is making some national headlines. The North Dakota Department of Public Instruction is speaking out a little bit on some of the school choice legislation. That article came out today in the forum, and want to visit about some of those topics at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we are joined on the phone with Ben Koppelman. He is representative from District 16, and that is a West Fargo district, but he is running for re-election. But we wanted him to come on and just talk a little bit about the campaign and see how that's going, maybe ask him a couple of other questions of the condition of the political climate here in North Dakota. But Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we kind of consider these next couple of weeks, what are some of your thoughts? Like, what should voters consider for the upcoming election when they go to cast their ballot? I mean, especially in your district, in Fargo-Moorhead, kind of in general, and then the bigger state of North Dakota, what are some of the considerations for this election? Maybe if somebody is on the fence about getting out to vote, what would you tell that voter?
Well, I think I would ask them if experience matters. And I think I would ask them if they think our economy in North Dakota has been good for the last 4, 8 or more years, depending on who they're voting for. In my case, I've been doing this for 12 years. And each time I run again, I think I can say with confidence that this stuff is better than it was 4 years before in terms of tax policy and that sort of thing. I'll be the first to admit that I think our spending is a bit out of control in Bismarck. But that's been more in spite of me and my running mates than it has been because of. If we're criticized for anything, we're criticized for not spending enough by various groups that want to see maybe some of the things that are better off paid for by the private sector, by the individual, and that they'd rather have government fund that. And so I guess I just ask voters to look at their pocketbook and their family construct, I guess, and decide what values they find important to them.
We're visiting with Ben Koppelman, Representative Ben Koppelman from District 16. If you have a question for Ben, I encourage you to give us a call, 701-271-1100, and also give us a text, shoot us a text at 701-237-1590. Representative, 12 years is a long time in context of the work that goes in to be a citizen legislator here in North Dakota. So just first off, I want to say thank you for running. But also, I mean, what is your passion to continue to serve the citizens of North Dakota? Like, what are some of your big priorities, especially going into the next legislative session? Like, what, I don't want to just ask what you're running on, but really, what are you passionate about to see the state of North Dakota do better in this next session?
Well, to put it simply, I like to stand for the Constitution and protecting our rights. I think if we're not careful, those backslide really quickly. One paper cut at a time. I think that I'm passionate about taxation. And this cycle, of course, property tax is the biggest subject. And I'm passionate about making that better. And I'm also passionate about limiting the size of our and scope of our government, because the larger our government gets, the more we sacrifice by way of freedom.
Absolutely. Dean is on the line, has a question for Ben. Dean, thank you so much for calling into the Steve Hallstrom Show. What is your question for Representative Koppelman?
Well, thank you. I would just like to know whether you support any of these school choice bills that would help give some of these private schools a little bit of help in their funding.
Great question, Dean. Thank you.
Well, I can say... yes, I do support the concept of school choice. I haven't seen any of the bills that are coming up this particular session. I can tell you that I've looked at various models, one of those being an education savings account. That's probably the one I like the best. But there are other models that are more similar to a voucher or more similar to some direct payment from the Department of Public Instruction to private schools. The bill that we passed last session but the governor vetoed, I believe, would have had the treasurer's office reimburse up to a certain amount of tuition dollars for private education. I know that the homeschoolers have wanted to kind of stay out of that realm for the most part, and the only one of these plans that I've seen that would actually benefit homeschool students is the education savings account plan, which then would
essentially save that money for college if it's not used during their K-12 education.
Yeah, I we just have a couple minutes left before break, Representative, but to follow up on that question, I do think this is going to be a pretty big topic and issue. I know there was an interim study here over in between the two sessions, and there's been a lot of ideas floated around, but when it comes to investment, you know, I'm really curious on how the property tax measure or maybe that discussion will kind of bleed over into the school choice discussion. You know, will there be a hesitancy? Let's just say Measure 4 passes. There's going to be a scrambling probably at the legislature to look at where some of that money is going to be recouped. But from a priority perspective, I think for the citizens of North Dakota, school choice is at the top of the list. I mean, would you agree with that from your conversation with voters?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I would not make that a second-tier priority if Measure 4 passes. I will tell you, plenty of people will make it a lower priority of other legislators, but I will not, because I think that we can't stop taking care of people's kids and letting them choose where those kids go to school and how they should be brought up. We can't stop caring about that because we pay less property taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to continue to care about the issues that are important throughout the rest of the process.
Yeah, we're going to head into a quick break here, Representative Koppelman. On the other side of the break, maybe let's dive in a little bit more on property tax. It's the issue I know you've probably talked about ad nauseum more than the rest of the issues, but I want to get your take on it. And if Measure 4 does or doesn't pass, maybe what are some things that the legislature is planning to do around property tax? If you're just joining us, we are having a conversation with Ben Koppelman, representative from District 16. He is running for re-election coming on November 5th, and so we're talking about his campaign and what the state of North Dakota is prioritizing come this next legislative session. We'll continue the conversation with Representative Koppelman after this break. It is 5:19 on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. We have been having a discussion with Representative Ben Koppelman. He is running for re-election to the House of Representatives in District 16. And before the break, Representative Koppelman, we had talked about what the discussion around property tax is looking like for you and all of those citizens that you serve in District 16. I would love to know kind of what your thoughts, and when you go to a door and knock on the door and ask for their support, you know, what are you hearing in regards to Measure 4 in particular and just property tax in general, and how can you give an assurance to that voter that the legislative process is going to play out one way or another, whether it passes or fails? I guess there's a lot of unanswered questions around property tax, and would just love to hear your general thoughts, maybe your 30,000-foot view, and then we can get into the weeds a little bit of the issue.
Well, my 30,000-foot view is that I don't presume to tell the voters how to vote on initiated measures, because by definition, initiated measures are democracy rather than representative republic like we are otherwise. But I'm happy to provide information. In reviewing Measure 2, I think there's a lot of good and some bad to go with that good, in the sense that I'm not sure it's written the best. I'm not sure it really thought about what all the potential issues that would have to be pounded out upon its passage. So if it passes, I think there's a handful of bills that we're going to have to pass just to make it work right. An example of that would be, okay, you've replaced all the local revenue up to that year with state revenue now. How are you going to hold your local elected officials accountable? How are you going to keep them from just raising taxes some other way at a rate that's unsustainable? So I think there's the answer to that is probably you're going to maybe cap their growth. So, but that's not in the measure. So other things like that. But I can tell you that if Measure 4 passes, that I will give you my commitment that I'm not going to vote for any type of tax increase. I think there are some out there that rather than reducing spending for whatever their favorite thing is, they're going to want to propose a sales tax increase or gas tax increase or some other tax increase to help offset so that they don't have to cut spending. And you will not see that from me. I believe if the people pass this, they're passing it with two things in mind. One is to eliminate the property tax burden they pay every year. The second is to greatly restrict the ability of the state to spend money. And so regardless how I vote individually on that, I want the voters to know that I will respect their decision. if they do not pass Measure 4, I do believe the legislature has a responsibility to address reform in property tax. And I actually have several bills that are written or in the works that would do the three important things. One is I'd eliminate the use of valuation on tax, on property tax, and I'd change it to a square footage metric. That way there's no stealth tax increases because of valuation. Your local political sub would then say, oh, I'm going to charge you X a square foot on your tax. So that's how it would work going forward. I would also provide a homestead tax credit, which would provide about a 70 to 75% reduction in taxes for primary residents on their home taxes. So I think that would be pretty huge. And I also have a measure that would provide a cap on local spending at probably about 3%, although we can work that out. But the key with this cap is that it would use a kind of a rolling average of the last 7 years. And so if a local political subdivision didn't want to raise your taxes every year by 3%, which we don't want them to unless they need it, then they could raise it by 1%, let's say, but then the next year they could raise it by 4%, that sort of thing, where it's kind of against the ledger. And the last thing is I would introduce a bill that would not allow the local political subdivisions to take your home away where you live, your primary residence, if you failed to pay your taxes. Right now they're the only entity that can take your house away, other than if you voluntarily sign something with your mortgage company. And so with those four ideas, I think I said three earlier, but with those four ideas, I think that we could provide a package of tax relief and tax reform that closely resembles the relief of Measure 4, but it would be predominantly on primary residents that would see that relief.
Sure. Does the price tag, so to speak, scare you at all? Like, from a state spending perspective, do you feel there is room for this? I mean, what I see with Measure 4 is I see it in some ways a referendum on, you know what, we need to control our spending, and how do we do that? As an elected, you know, body, you know, we send you there, but how can we maybe hold the legislature accountable for their spending? Do any of these, like, from a tax relief perspective, I guess is my question, tax relief is so needed for so many with the inflation that's hitting our cities and our families. And I feel like this is the discussion of Measure 4 is like, is the legislature going to do something that's going to hurt? You know, when I say hurt, it's going to make you guys, and I appreciate the work you do, but it's really going to make you dig deep and make some hard decisions. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think I would. And I would go out on the limb and say that I don't know that the legislature has had to make that many hard decisions in any but possibly one of the sessions I was in. There was one session that I served in where the governor had slashed everybody's budget at the same rate across the board, which the governor can do if the revenue doesn't come in. And that was, I think, Dalrymple's last term as governor. And I want to say the number was 4%, but I can't be sure. I don't remember exactly. But anyway, let's just say it was 4%. He cut everybody's budget by 4%. Well, I think he did a poor job of that because he could have gone in and cut some more than others. But I think there was some statutory limitations on what he could do. But in the aftermath of that, we had a pretty tight session. I mean, there wasn't a lot of extra money for new initiatives. And that's always, you know, can be the case. I think that will be the case if Measure 4 passes, that we'll have to make hard decisions. But that's good. That's part of the process. That's good natural tension that exists there. What I concern with the Measure 4 perspective is that people not lose sight of how we got here, with at least in a property tax realm, and that is, you know, high governments, local government spending. If the legislature, let's just say in a different realm, had been extremely conservative, and instead of having a $19 billion proposed budget, we had a, you know, $8 billion proposed budget or something like that, which would be closer to maybe what our neighboring states have, $8 to $10 billion. Then we would go, oh, the legislature is being very fiscally conservative. What are we going to do about this property tax problem? Well, the answer wouldn't be Measure 4, because they would already be looking at their government as being very conservative and probably sending that money back to taxpayers already. So I'm not saying that that's the bad part of Measure 4. What I'm saying is the reason we can have that conversation in Measure 4 is because there was so much income via taxes of the government and so much high spending. I think we cannot emphasize enough, though, how important it is to look at local elections. I personally think local elections should be partisan, because if you don't have the time to meet a guy, I've never had a city commissioner knock on my door. So if you haven't ever had that happen, how are you going to meet that local guy? And if they're nonpartisan, does that mean they're not conservative, not liberal, they're just nobody, or you just don't know? And so I think that might be something that should come down the road too.
Yeah, that's great. Other than property tax and maybe school choice that we've discussed, I mean, what would you say would be some of the priorities for this next session? Anything that really stands out to you as something you're passionate about or the voters are kind of prodding you towards?
Well, as always, I always work hard to defend the Second Amendment. So each session I work on legislation that would give people more of people's rights back to them. When I came into the legislature, a lot of people thought we were a pretty pro-Second Amendment state, but then you figured out that you couldn't carry at the grocery store, you couldn't carry at the gas station, you couldn't carry in the park, you couldn't carry at the rest area, and so on and so forth. And then you start asking yourself, well, where can I carry if we're so pro-Second Amendment? And so each session I try to pick on a couple of issues where I can put more power back in the people's hands and give them their rights back.
That's great. And I know over the last few years, I would say 6-8 years, there has been huge advancements in Second Amendment issues. Of course, constitutional carry being one. And so I definitely applaud your work on that. Representative Koppelman, how can someone find out more about your campaign in these next couple of weeks and support you and get out to vote in District 16? How can they hear more about you?
Well, I think if you go onto Facebook, onto Clemens, Koppelman, and Marshall, just search for that and you'll find our Facebook page. You can hear about that. Obviously, we have lots of ads running on your website. And anybody that likes to call me, I openly give out my cell phone. It's 701-491-0665. And so anybody that likes to reach out and have a conversation, I'd be happy to do that. And even if you're not my constituent, I'd be happy to talk about issues constructively with you.
Wonderful. Well, I always appreciate our conversations, Representative Koppelman, and the work that you're doing for the citizens of North Dakota. So thank you for the time calling in today, and good luck coming up in a couple weeks.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. And thank you, everybody, for continuing to stay with us in the Steve Hallstrom Show. We're going to head into a news and weather break. And on the other side of the break, it's wide open phones. And whatever you want to talk about, there's a couple of news articles I want to get to. And I've teased those at the beginning of the show. But one of those is Measure 4, maybe continuing that discussion about how Measure 4 is making national headlines and is a leader in the property tax reduction conversation. And also have a caller, Ryan, that we're going to get to as well on the other side. So stick with us here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve Hallstrom on this Monday afternoon, where the temperature I just saw is 76 degrees. What an absolutely beautiful day for the end of October. And we are thankful to be sitting in the chair today. I'm thankful to be sitting here for Steve. And always enjoyed the conversations. We've had some great guests on. But for the rest of the program, it is all yours as the listeners. If you'd like to share your thoughts on anything that we've discussed today, would encourage you to call in 701-271-1100 or text us your thoughts at 701-237-1590. Have a couple articles I want to get to, just some of the news headlines of the day that caught my eye, and I think you'll find interesting as well. But before we get to those, want to invite Ryan into the conversation and share his point of view. Ryan, thank you for calling in to the Steve Hallstrom Show.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. There were just a couple of things in regards to Measure 4 that I wanted to talk about. I actually live about 40 minutes south of the North Dakota border, so I don't really take a position. I'm agnostic on what should happen there. But just two things, two generalities that I want to point out. First of all, I think if Measure 4 does pass, I appreciate Representative Koppelman's desire to fight for the government services that his constituents enjoy. But less revenue will probably mean cuts in some services at some level. Just simple math. And I'm agnostic on what should be done, but that's something to consider when the people of North Dakota go to vote. Second thing I wanted to bring up, Andrew, are you familiar with the Baptists and bootleggers model of regulatory capture?
I am not. No, you'll have to inform me.
in dry counties, when they put alcohol to a vote in dry counties, you can count on the Baptists to vote against it out of sincere belief, and the bootleggers will vote with the Baptists because they don't want a legitimate competition. As regards Measure 4, I've been hearing a lot about how popular it is with over 100 interest groups from all walks of life and, you know, all different political persuasions. To me, that's kind of a red flag. The first thing I would wonder is, why would Democrats and Republicans agree on anything, let alone something so fundamental as taxation? Now, as I said, I don't think that's a reason to vote for or against it necessarily. I don't have a dog in that hunt as a South Dakotan, but I wouldn't vote against it simply because all of these hundreds of interest groups are telling me not to. I just encourage the people of North Dakota to perhaps dig a little deeper and figure out where all these, you know, strange bedfellows are originating from.
Yeah, no, I appreciate those comments, Ryan. And I want to ask you a follow-up question on your first point. Before I get to that, I do have to agree. I do think this. I think that the citizens of North Dakota, whether this measure passes or it fails, have won. And when I say that, because just the conversation that we're having right now and has been happening over the last couple of months and will continue these next 2 weeks is so fruitful for true and, I think, meaningful tax relief that the citizens of North Dakota are really asking for. So whether it passes or fails, I think that we've won in that there's going to be some legitimate property tax reform that will come. And, you know, I guess so to your first point, my question I have is this, is I'd actually visited with somebody in the jail system over the last weekend about this because he showed up at a meeting, and in the meeting there was people there that were basically lobbying their group to vote against Measure 4. And the concerns I think that he had were valid, but the concern is not this, is they're not going to lose funding in the immediate future. Like he said, it probably for a couple of years will not affect him. But I think the biggest question is what happens in a couple years for local, you know, whether it's a police, fire, jail system, county, city, you know, what they're going to do to recoup or to add to their budget if they need to buy a new fire truck. And I think that's some of the legitimate concerns that people have. But, you know, I would ask you what your thoughts on this. My thought is simply this, is they're not going to lose anything in the immediate future. They're going to continue to operate in the same funding that they have. But then going forward, what's the answer? Well, I say there are other ways to collect tax other than property tax. Like it can happen. You know, we can collect revenues in other ways, and I think political subdivisions can figure that out. I don't think it's too much of an ask to figure some of that out, but I definitely see some of the concern. Is that kind of what your point, you know, that initial point that you had was speaking to?
You know, my thought on this really is even more fundamental than that. To be quite honest with you, Andrew, I consider myself a small L libertarian. The Republican Party just isn't quite radical enough for me. In all 50 states, all 50 of them, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, anywhere you go, anywhere you look, there are places where cuts can be made in what I personally consider regulatory capture, regulatory overreach. In some states, it's a lot worse than in others. And I think there are some good reasons. I don't know if I'm personally convinced, but there are reasons to vote for and against Measure 4 that kind of make me go, I can see both sides of that issue.
Yeah.
But the people that are saying, the ones that are saying, oh, there's no plan for what we're going to do. Well, if there's no plan, then you're not locked into anything. You have more flexibility to worry about the future. If you put your plan into the Constitution, then you're locked in, and you're back to square one with people being taxed in ways that they don't approve of because it's there in the Constitution. Now.
But I do feel like going forward that the way to tax the people is going to be a lot more transparent than it is right now. So, going forward, if we do need a new fire truck, then the city's going to have to go to the citizens and say, hey, we need this. And, I think a lot of reasonable citizens will say, okay, our fire truck is 20 years old. We need something new. Like, let's do it. But right now, they don't need to go to the citizens and ask for that. They just have a natural increase in their budget based on the valuation of a house that is really outside the hands of the citizens. So I completely agree. I mean, I see both sides and some of the concerns, but I do personally believe that there is a transparency that if Measure 4 would pass, that would be much better for the citizens of North Dakota to, I don't want to use the phrase, like hold our elected leaders accountable. I want it to be more like, it's transparent. Like we can see what the needs are versus what, the revenue is.
Yeah, Measure 4 may or may not be the way to do it.
Sure.
Cannot stress enough, I don't have a dog in that hunt. I am not a resident of the state of North Dakota. But my first instinct, my first political instinct is to think, how can we get government to do with less? Government to do with less. And I'm sure that there are voters that would be more than happy to say, yeah, there are services I don't use or services I don't feel I need, But it'll play itself out and one way or another. I do think that this is an important conversation that has to be, heard.
Absolutely.
In North Dakota and elsewhere.
Yeah. No, Ryan, thank you so much for calling in. I really enjoyed the conversation. And like I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, I do feel this conversation is a win for the citizens of North Dakota. That article I mentioned is on Market Watch, a national news outlet, and actually found the headline on Drudge Report, but it was asking the question of, is North Dakota going to eliminate property tax? And so the article goes on to say, that we are voting, of course, to end property tax, and then they say, and pour gas on the spark of a growing tax revolt. And it goes through and talks a little bit about, what are some of the supporters are saying and some of those that are against the measure are saying. But I find it very interesting that it is on the cutting edge of the property tax discussion. And we do have to get into one last break here coming up for our 5 o'clock hour, or last break. And then we want to continue this conversation. There's a couple of people on hold we're going to get to. And whatever they want to talk about, whether it's Measure 4 or something else, we'd be glad to take your calls on the other side of the break. Text your comments as well, 701-237-1590. Or if you do want to give us a phone call, 701-271-1100. Thank you for tuning in to the Steve Hallstrom Show. This is Andrew Sletten sitting in for Steve on this last segment here in the 5 o'clock hour. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and enjoying our conversation with both our listeners and our guests over the last hour and a half. And appreciate everybody supporting faith, family, and freedom. And always a joy to sit in again for Steve. I wanted to get to a couple of texts we had come in. One person said, sounds like Democrats in Republican clothes. Republicans want less government, less taxes. Democrats want more taxes and more government. Yes, yes, yes on number 4. I just want to make a quick point with our last caller. He had talked about when there are so many organizations coming out against something that makes you sometimes take pause. I mean, does it remind us any of kind of the year 2020 and COVID, how there was this seemingly unanimous push to act and do and live a certain way? I find it very fascinating how sometimes you can find the truth by looking at the amount of support behind it. Anyway, with that being said, we want to get to our callers. John, thank you so much for calling the Steve Hallstrom Show. And what's on your mind? What would you share to this conversation?
Well, I heard a little bit of what the conversation was earlier, but I I couldn't call at that time, but I thought I picked up that you're a minister.
Yes, sir.
Okay, explain to me why a minister of any faith would support a person like Donald Trump.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say this is we personally have a choice in this election, and if you tuned in at the beginning of the show, I actually talked about last Sunday in my message, I made the statement. I said, no matter who is on the ballot, there is not an answer to the ills of this country. I believe wholeheartedly that there is an answer, and it's not in the candidates that we choose. So then it comes down to practically, what do we believe in our values? And there's a difference in legislation and what we would point to as, I want my family, my children to grow up in a society that holds to biblical truth and value. And could we say that Donald Trump hasn't lived those out in his life? Absolutely. Could we say that Kamala Harris hasn't lived those out in her life? Absolutely. Could we say that I haven't lived those out all the best that I know I could do? Absolutely. And so I recognize this, John, and I do appreciate the question. I think it's a very valid question. I say my worldview lends itself to we're all sinners in need of a savior. And, you know, myself as well as Donald Trump. And so, unfortunately, these are the two choices we have, John. And I wish we had better choices. And in fact, I would do everything, you know, to try to get the people sitting in the seats, whether it's in Bismarck or in our congressional delegation, even to our national candidates like Donald Trump and others. I would like to see people who, you know, walk the walk and, you know, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I guess that's my 30,000-foot view answer is, you know, do I think that Donald Trump is our savior? Absolutely not. But ultimately, when I go into that voting booth, I'm going to have to decide who. And maybe I'll abstain, but maybe I'll vote for Trump. I definitely can't vote for Kamala. But would love to hear your thoughts, John, on you know, you asked a question. Would love to hear what you think.
Well, I think Donald Trump is the most disgraceful human being that I'm aware of, and I've got a pretty good idea of what goes on. Mm. I wonder what a man in the cloth, okay, and this candidate says, you know, I see a woman, I can just grab her pussy if I want, and I've done it a lot. Now, what moves a minister to say that's a good idea?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Well, as Kamala said, I jump every man I can find. That'd be outrageous if she did. Terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But if she said it, I would put an end to my support for her immediately. Well, yeah. I can't figure out what goes through the head of these Republicans in North Dakota, and that's what they support.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know what you're talking about, John, and, you know, ultimately it comes down to these are the candidates that unfortunately have elevated to a nation where it has become so polarized. And, you know, I completely say this is that we get the candidates that we deserve as a culture. Unfortunately, this is the condition of our culture. And as a minister, John, I must say that my battle, my fight is not to get out, you know, is not to get people out to vote as a means of fighting our culture. You know, we know that politics is downstream from culture. And so this is what we're left with, is we're left with these choices that, you know, the arguments about how Donald Trump governed versus who he is. You know,
may I make one more statement?
Absolutely.
The governor of North Dakota, who I, you know, I thought when he got in the ring, I thought, well, we're going to end up with a Republican anyway. I might be able to support him. But he managed to get the out of the race and didn't get the pick for VP. But he dove in 1,000 preference for Trump. And I can't believe a guy is willing, guy with the success he's had in his personal business life, I don't know about his personal life, but he's been very successful. And yet this state didn't go support him for nothing. And no, I'm a Democrat, so I was going to support him anyway. But I thought, you know, it would be okay. But Donald Trump, stop it. Mm. That's it. You know, every Republican I know that supports him has just sold out America. That's my opinion.
Well, John, I really appreciate the call, and I'd love to have the conversation. And thank you so much for calling in. And want to get to a couple of texts here. One, somebody texted in and said, Fargo property taxes are not fair. Some properties will be increased, and next-door properties are not. Properties with no improvements on the same street should be increased with the same percentage. I find, again, the Measure 4 discussion very, very interesting. We'll definitely see how it ends up come November 5th. There's a lot of individuals and people that are making a case either way. If you just listen to this station, you're going to hear ads for and against. And so I invite you to look at the facts and make your own decision. And Denny, we just have like literally a minute and 20 seconds, and want to invite you on. Denny, thank you so much for calling in. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I was calling back about the greed deal, but here's one question I do have for you. I enjoy you when you're a guest host, and you're open-minded. I know many very, very great Christians that have great moral fiber and whatever, and I have the highest respect for them. But I also know people that have the same values that might not follow Christianity. Do you know anybody that, you know, shares those same values? I mean, making you a Christian doesn't make you superior. It makes you a great person, but it's, you know, something that, you know, that I think we should, you know, and I respect people's faith when I don't respect their right to go 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Sure.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, Denny, thank you for calling in, and I only have a minute left, but I do say this, is I hold a biblical worldview, and I do feel like a biblical worldview is the... It's just what I've decided to live in my life and for my family. And, the thing that I say is this, is that a good tree cannot produce corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit, meaning the proof is in the pudding. And so when it comes to values and it comes to living these values out in the public square, this is why we have these discussions. And we ultimately can look at examples of people that are successful in not only, you know, of course, just business, but in just their life in general. And I wish I had more time to talk about it, but I'm only, I'm up against the end of the show here. But Denny, thank you for calling in. Looking forward to continuing our conversations next time I host for Steve. And thank you everybody who called and all of our guests, and always a joy to visit about the great state of North Dakota. And more importantly, about the greatest kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. Always enjoy visiting about faith, family, and freedom. So God bless you. Have a great afternoon.